The sleigh bells are ringing and the carolers are singing while the air raid sirens blare. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. The button has been pressed. The radio just let us know that this is not a test. Everywhere the atom bombs are dropping, it's the end of all humanity. No more time for last minute shopping. It's time to face your final destiny. It's Christmas at Ground Zero. There's panic in the crowd. We can dodge debris while we trim the tree underneath a mushroom cloud.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Weird Al Yankovic Christmas at the Ground Zero. All right, coming up this hour, we got the all the stuff together still. But most importantly, coming up this hour, we got today's top five. In honor of the family-oriented holiday we just passed last Thursday, we got today's top five. Top five songs with family in the title. So that's all coming up. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We've also got emails to get through, your phone calls, and all this stuff. Like us at 3, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. All coming up following this, your friend and mine, Tim Riley, in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
About 100,000 people turned out today in Wellingham, New Zealand, why that's half the country, to see the stars show up for the world premiere of Return of the King. Why, that's one out of like three people who live in Wellington. The Return of the King is the last chapter in the trilogy. It comes out in this country December 17th. And Jane Fonda today promised to take a small army of women to Guatemala to announce the murders of women in that nation. Fonda says the bodies of 700 slain women have been found in Guatemala since the start of 2000. Jamie tonight, The Wedding Singer is on with Adam Sandler. That's on Fox. Then we have the Johnny Cash Anthology on OPB. Doing the Right Thing with Danny Aiello and Ozzie Davis. A Race Riot starts at Sal's Pizza Parlor on a hot day in Brooklyn. Directed by Spike Lee, who plays Mookie. Dazed and Confused is on tonight on Comedy Central. That's from 1993. Wow, that's 10 years old already. On A True Hollywood Story, Carmen Electra pursues a goal. Tune in and find out what that might be.
I think the goal is to become famous for no reason that anybody can really accurately quantify. And to find herself revolving around an endless panoply of famous men, all of whom are attracted to her, despite the fact that there's like 9 million women on planet Earth that look just like her. And to go from Prince to Fred Durst to Dave Navarro to Hugh Hefner, back to Fred Durst, and then finally back to Dave Navarro again, who she married this last week.
You forgot Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, so, yeah, and then she married him in Vegas, didn't she? Dennis Rodman, where the hell's that guy at? Where's Dennis Rodman these days?
Trying to get back in the NBA, but nobody's going to hire him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Isn't he
good? He was on the Best Damn Sports Show, period, about a month ago.
I love me some Dennis Rodman.
And was saying, hey, look, I'm in shape, I want to play, I've got the will, got the desire, somebody hire me.
Why would you not hire Dennis Rodman?
Because he's too much of a flake.
But so what, man?
He may be managing a Big Five sporting goods by now.
He's not, you know what I mean? He's not on trial for bending somebody over a chair at gunpoint.
He's one of the good ones.
Yes. So, I mean, all things being equal, what does it take to be considered a stable player in the NBA? He hadn't been pulled over with 15 pounds of weed in his SUV anytime recently. You know what I mean? So, hadn't been arrested for assaulting a nanny last time I heard. All Dennis Rodman does is go around in a wedding dress and look like he's an alien. So, I mean, we're living in strange times, my friends.
And here's the answer to the question, what happened to Johnny Cochran? We brought this up yesterday. The holders of the North American rights to Winnie the Pooh have hired Johnny Cochran to represent them in a 12-year legal fight with the Walt Disney Company. The heirs of Winnie the Pooh allege Disney owes them millions of dollars because he miscalculated royalties from the sale of Pooh dolls. So they've hired Cochran. It's the second major change in lawyers they've made so far, so hopefully he'll win.
We must fight the powers of Disney like Pooh getting honey from a tree.
Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
I was reaching there, but what are you going to do? It's Pooh, it's Johnny Cochran, you got to do something there. Hey, didn't Roy Disney just get the boot?
Yes, he did.
Roy Disney got forced out by Michael Eisner. And Eisner's apparently next because I guess he's like, man, I love it when bad things happen to Disney. If I woke up and there was a humongous fire and then a swarm of Africanized bees that had invaded Disney and had just stung everyone to death, that'd be the happiest day of my life. It'd be impossible to top that. If I woke up and just God had just rained toads and boulders on the Magic Kingdom, I would just go out and hang myself the next day, because it's like, there'd be no way that my life would get any better. So Roy Disney, who was the last remaining member of the Disney family, was forced out in a gigantic coup this weekend, after demanding that Eisner be forced out, because Eisner, of course, is sort of the Brandon Tartikoff of the Disney universe, and he got a lot of credit for bringing it back from the dead in the 80s, but man, Disney has just shot itself in the freaking foot like nearly every opportunity they've had for the last 7 years. This has been the first year that they've actually had more hits than misses, I think, and that's largely due to the folks at Pixar, who operate without any Disney oversight, who just kind of put their stuff out under the Disney title. So I always like to see bad things happen to Disney. Well done indeed. Rick, let's see. No, I've lost. I've lost it again. I've lost it. I had some email about the female equivalent to the finding the Playboy. It was something about discovering a pulsating shower head or something or other. I don't know. I got nothing. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We got numerous emails though about what to get your F-buddy for Christmas. Rick, there's only one appliance to get for an F-buddy. You can get one at the upcoming Jolie sex party. See, that's what I'm saying, and that's, that's perfect. Nobody's gonna take that the wrong way. There's no two ways to take it. You buy somebody, whatever, a Mr. Coffee or whatever it is Jolie wanted you to buy. First of all, you don't want to buy anything that says you're gonna be hanging out there and having a lot of breakfasts. Because the next thing you know, you're taking long walks on a Sunday afternoon, taking your dog to the park, and going to the farmer's market together. That's something that just leads to all kinds of entanglements that are gonna cause you untold pain and suffering down the road, my friends. You don't want to have any part of that. Rick, let's see, the perfect gift for a prostitute woman for a prostitute woman from a prostitute male? It's a subscription to Playboy, the perfect gift. See, let me just say this, that women, if you don't know what a guy wants for Christmas, get him a subscription to Playboy. You never go wrong with that. If you don't know what a guy wants for Christmas, if you absolutely, completely, full-on, like, have to punt when it comes to a Christmas gift for your guy, get him a Playboy magazine. Get him a subscription to Playboy magazine. That's completely what it is. All right. Rick. Gift to a spa for a facial or massage is a great non-committal gift. Plus, they're sensuous and will get her in the mood for more. That's totally. See, I still stand by the Bed Bath and Beyond, the big lotion, the oil crap. Women love that. You can't ever go wrong with that.
I think the massage and the spa and stuff, that shows that you care too much.
Really?
I think that's a little too much. Yeah.
See, I don't know these things. The best thing to buy for your F-buddy is booze. Buy them Stoli or Kahlua. It's an upgrade from the type they'd probably buy for themselves. They can drink it and want to F you again, and you can't misinterpret the intimacy of that gift at all. We were just saying that during the break, that's not like the very best top shelf, not rock gut. You want to buy them some a little above average. Something a little bit, something a little bit better than day-to-day booze, because it's in keeping with the whole theme of vice. It's in keeping with the whole theme of sin. There's no way to, there's no way to think that it's like some sort of a engagement song engagement gift. There's no way to think that it's, it's going to lead up to a proposal for your hand in marriage or something. Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. I just got like 500,000 of these, over these things about what to buy your F-pals. Then I got all these Playboy stories, too. We got this. Rick, Playboy is America. I was creating a time capsule for a friend. One of the items in the capsule was a picture of him in Vietnam looking through a March 1970 Playboy. I searched eBay and found two for sale. After my friend received the time capsule, he commented that he remembers that moment in Vietnam when they took that picture of him looking through Playboy. Old Playboys are the best. They make you laugh and think of simpler times. Mike, P.S. I listen via the web from San Diego. There you go. Good time, San Diego. Rick, when a boy finds his first Playboy magazine, it is akin to the greatest scientific discoveries for that boy, for the boy, that is. You're immediately shown the, quote, hidden nature of those strange, cootie-carrying, oddly interesting creatures called girls. You are witness to a mystery of the universe that you will spend the rest of your life trying to figure out. If you're lucky, you will find the... If you're lucky, you'll find one that has been made just for you and no one else. Then you won't be allowed to read the Playboys anymore, but that's a subject for the Tom Likas show, not you. It's completely true. Let's see. Rick, I just went to the website and checked the date on that Playboy of Lisa Welch. What a vision. Rick, I hate to admit it, but I don't remember the first Playboy I saw. What I remember is that Barbara Dare was the centerfold model of the first penthouse I ever saw, which happened long before I ever laid eyes on a Playboy. Later, when I got to school, I sat down next to a girl in my chem class who looked exactly like Barbara Dare, right down to her height, weight, and chest size. Lusted after her for 4 years, but she may have well as been Barbara Dare herself since I never got any. F-Matt with a stack of nudie mags.
This F-Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Yeah, Brian at Sound Barrier. Telling you, man, it is, yeah, it's, you know, and I honestly shouldn't belabor the point about Playboy and hot chicks and everything. I will tell you this. That guy nails it right on the head. When you see, the, you know what it is? It's like when you see the Playboy, it's like that Oak Island money pit. That just, you know, keeps going and going and going. There's like no particular bottom to it, and it's an ever unfolding source of mystery and fascination. You know what it is? And I don't mean to, this isn't an overstatement either. When you discover women, and I don't mean discover women in the, you know, in the small sense, I mean discover women in the broad, huge, all-encompassing, vast, world-consuming sense of that phrase, it is akin to discovering religion, you know, because religion is the same way. That religion, on the one hand, just offers you all of this happiness and these and answers and, you know, the final word on everything, and it answers you, you know, it offers you solutions. But on the other hand, religion, what you explore religion your entire life, you'll never understand it. It's full of mystery and it's full of contradiction. And religion is the source of, like, great pain and great anguish and suffering, but religion, for many people, also the source of the greatest happiness, contentment, joy, pleasure you will ever know in your life. And you can study religion your entire life, never get to the bottom of it. You can spend 75 years on planet Earth ensconced in a theology school somewhere, and you will never understand one-tenth of one great world religion. It will never even start to make the vaguest bit of absolute sense to you. You know, but you do it anyway. You pursue it anyway. So it is with women. That is all ye know and all ye need know. Let's see. We're going to get the Zach in just a moment. Dave is on the cell phone. He's a full-time listener. Dave, what's up, brother?
Hey, man. Yeah, you could just get us something like a silk teddy or negligee with some, you know, erotic massage oils, you know?
Yeah.
Then it's, you know, it's kind of a gift for her and you, and what better way to thank her for orgasm is to get more orgasm.
I would totally say that you could even do this. You could even do the night at the relatively upscale hotel. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, but, definitely. Go to the upscale hotel.
But you don't want to do a trip out of town. You don't want to do a night at a hotel that's in, like, another city or another state. Because
no,
then
you don't want to travel.
No, because then you're traveling together.
Right.
And you don't want to travel together.
Shopping together.
Yeah. So you get her, I mean, I don't know what you know, you get a, you see, you get a nice, you know, hotel somewhere nearby so that it's not like you're taking a vacation together.
Right. Just go downtown Portland and get a nice room overlooking the river.
Yep. There you go. That's what
you
I'm
know?
Talking about.
Yeah, dude. And, you know, and just have fun. But, yeah, women, man, that is my religion.
That's women. You know, I forget the Woody Allen quote exactly, but there's a quote in a Woody Allen film where he's talking to, I think it's in Deconstructing Harry, where he's talking to his son, and his son asks if he believes in religion, and he says, you know, I don't believe in religion. And his son says, what do you believe in? And he says, I believe in women.
Exactly.
That's what it is, man. Somebody ought to write that down. I'm probably mangling the quote. If that's not the quote, then I want credit for it, because that's some goddamn brilliance is what that is. All hail me right there for that. Yeah.
I'll hail you for mangling a quote from someone else.
Someone else, for stealing and then not even stealing, for stealing incorrectly a quote from someone else who's more talented than I am. Zach, you're in Aloha, you're on Hot Talk at 80KOTK. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that not all first Playboy experiences are the best. I remember the first one my dad threw in front of me was actually the Jackie Collins one. And
yeah, well, that would have been the 80s, right?
Yes, I was actually about 6 years old.
I'm telling you, the 80s, I mean this now. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I'm as a good representative of my generation. I don't want to, you know, say like I'm slagging the whole decade. But the 80s were a dark time for women. The 80s were a bad, if you were to look back, at the totality of the American experience, and you were to pick like the 50 hottest women who have ever lived, like, you know, the women that we're all familiar with, I'm guessing like fewer than 20 of them, fewer than 20% even, would come from the 80s. The 80s were not a good decade for really beautiful women. I mean, all the women that we would just, that we remember as being bombshells, they came from the 60s, the 70s, few from the 90s, but very few of those women came from the 80s. The 80s were not kind to us in terms of women that held up. You know what I mean?
Unless you like jersey hair.
Yeah, a lot of women with big hair and acid wash. If you were into that, then the 80s were your decade. All right. Let's welcome to the show the lovely and talented Kristen from accounting. Joins us now in the Rick Emerson program. What's up?
Well, hello.
How are you, sister?
You know, a couple of things. Do not, and I'm repeating here, no matter what Jolie says, don't get your Uck buddy anything for Christmas.
Well, because you think that any gift sends the message that you want to get serious.
Exactly. And I would say, I do kind of agree with the booze one, though. That would be the only thing, like a nice bottle of wine or something like that.
Well, because it's guaranteed to get you laid again.
Exactly. That's kind of in keeping it's with like, the kind of relationship you have.
Booze is like one step up from giving rubbers in a big jar of Astroglide, you know? So,
A-Y.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, it pretty much sends the message that I'd like you to use these later when you have sex with me.
Yeah.
So.
And,
yeah.
You know, talking about the Playboy, the first...
Yep.
You know, your first Playboy. The only thing I can think of to compare it to for women would be the first O, the first big O.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it is, it's kind of that, because, you know, some women go for years and years and don't have any idea what it is.
Well, and you see these letters to, like, you know, these women like write the Cosmo or whatever. So I am a woman of, I'm 44 years old and I have never had, or this.
Right.
They always read this. They say, I don't think I've had an orgasm.
Yeah, see, women just aren't sure.
And it's like, and even as a guy, you know, and guys typically just don't care. Guys are pretty, you know, as long as there's like dry roasted peanuts in the kitchen when we're done, we don't care. But, you know, for a guy, you read that, and even I'm like, oh, God, how could you even, no wonder that there's so many women that are so disinterested in sex.
I mean, no wonder there are so many Jolies out in the world.
Well, no money, I mean, it's a miracle that women aren't just walking around with guns shooting men on sight.
Well, and that's
you know?
Why, you know, when you do have that first experience and you're just like, oh, my God.
And suddenly you're just like, wait a minute, I get it
all
now.
All of a sudden you understand what the big deal is about the whole thing.
Yeah, and it suddenly all makes sense, I would imagine.
I'm just saying.
See, for guys, see, that's why. See, I have this whole theory that, you know, I've said for a long time that you meet a woman who's, you know, 30, 35, whatever. Those women are going to typically be a lot more adventurous, often a lot better in bed than women who are like, whatever, 18.
Yeah, I like to think that too, Rick.
Well, I'm just saying that it's just something, and I think a lot of guys would agree with that, because I think a lot of women, they go for the first 10 years of their sexual life not really knowing what they're doing, which is...
they have no idea.
It's not their own fault. It's just, you know what it is? It's like buying a really complex VCR. You know what it is? It's that men are more or less just like, hold on, there's an analogy here. Men are a toaster. Women are like an espresso maker, you know?
Yeah.
You put the toast in, you press that button, you come back in 5 minutes, it's done, okay? It's done.
Toast.
Yeah, you come back, you've got toast. Your bread has been toasted, all right? 5 minutes is all it takes, and it takes pushing one thing. You know, with women, though, it's like you got to set this dial and look at this gauge, and they got to jiggle the handle the right way, and you got to get the right size cup underneath, and... Yeah, and it's like, you know, and it takes like an hour, and if you don't do it, if you do it wrong, you got to throw the whole thing out and start over again at the beginning.
Hey, that's pretty good, Rick.
I'm saying, pay me for my looks.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. And so you meet these women that are like 35, and they finally figured it out, and they want to have espresso all the time.
Yeah, baby, I do.
And that's why men, you know, are such pigs when they're like 17, because men, it takes men about 4 seconds to figure that out. When they're 16 and they see, you know, whatever, the Victoria's Secret bra section, and suddenly it's like, whoa, I'm toasting, you know, and it's like, and so they want to toast constantly. Let's end this now.
Yeah, okay.
There's Kristen in accounting. All right. We'll come back. We got the top five on the way, plus a big announcement about Bigger Than Jesus. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be right back.
Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
228, I'm Tim Riley. This news brought to you by Lorac Jewelers. The holidays aren't the holidays without a trip to Lorac Jewelers. No interest and no down this year at Lorac's. Downtown Washington Square and Landmark Diamond Quarter at 82nd and Foster. Spencer Breslin plays hyperactive Conrad, who has too much fun in the Cat of the Hat. Spencer, tell us about your character, won't you?
He's sort of a misunderstood type kid, and he can strike havoc upon the house when he wants to, and he only knows how to have too much fun.
I guess so. Tell me about your sister Sally and how you are different from Sally.
You have Sally. Sally's a sister who's very organized and very up to date. She uses her Palm Pilot all the time. She's always very, very organized and very specific and detailed. And as Conrad's just all over the place and going crazy and stuff.
The film is now playing. Showers this afternoon, highs in the 50s, cloudy tonight, more showers, chance of rain tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. There we go. Jane's Addiction guitarist Dave Navarro and actress Carmen Electra were married Saturday at the St. Regis Hotel in Century City, California. Fans of the two can watch the upcoming MTV reality series, Till Death Do Us Part, Carmen and Dave, which takes a look at the preparations of their wedding. Whoa, that sounds like... I mean, even by reality television standards, that sounds like a fantastically dull show. Even by the admittedly low and small-brained, I mean, come on, man. Electra was married to former NBA star Dennis Rodman. Why don't they used to have that show, was that Rodman, what the hell was that show on MTV? Rodman World? Rodman Land? What the hell was that? They didn't used to call it reality shows. They used to call them television programs, you know what I mean? They didn't used to be a whole genre. What the hell was that show? Rodman at Large? Rodman...
I don't remember the show at all.
Rodmania. Yeah, Dennis Rodman had a reality show back in like 95, 96. On MTV. And they would just follow... It was like the wacky happenings of Dennis Rodman. It was like the Osbournes, but it was like the Rodmans. And they would just follow Dennis Rodman around and film him as he engaged in all kinds of wacky shenanigans and hijinks. I forget what I was talking about. Anyway, but you know, let's talk about Carmen Electra for just a second. As I continue to thumb through the 50th anniversary of Playboy magazine here, because we were just talking about, and I've gotten all these emails from dudes that are sort of, you know, that are sort of concurring with me, that women in the 80s especially, and then it just got worse in the 90s. The only good thing about the 90s is, the women stayed as mechanical and plastic in the 90s as they were in the 80s, it's just they got better at it in the 90s, so the women looked a little more flawless. But flawless in this kind of way that, I mean, Pam Anderson is kind of the perfect example of that. You know, no one's ever going to say that Pam Anderson's an ugly woman. But, I mean, you take Pam Anderson, and I'm just saying for me now. I may not be speaking for everybody, but I got a lot of many emails here that agree with me. You take Pam Anderson, and you put her up against just a random, you know, cover girl from Playboy from, like, 1967. To me, there's just no contest. You know, there is just no contest because, you know, you can't top the, the real thing. You know what I'm saying? It's just something about that. I'm not trying to be some like weird. Maybe it's a personal thing, but I don't know. But Carmen Electra and Dave Navarro is sort of the apotheosis of that because we were talking during the break about how they're just like this. It's like they're the world's most attractive couple. You know what I mean? They're sort of this white hot supernova of attraction. But Dave Navarro is the same way. Dave Navarro is one of those guys who I guess is good looking, but it's in like this really bizarre, made up, sort of over the top, carefully maintained kind of way.
Yeah, he's more pretty than good looking, I'd say.
Well, and there's a lot of work that goes into it, is what I'm saying. It's like you get a guy like George Clooney or Brad Pitt or whoever, and even when those guys, you scruff them up, You know, and they're sort of, they're like Robert Redford. They're kind of the real deal. You know, they kind of still look good looking when they're just, you know, they got, kind of got the good looks even when they're sort of grizzled and out of, but Dave Navarro, you get the idea that that guy's got to spend a long time in front of a mirror every morning.
He wears a lot of eye makeup too.
Yeah, and he's got, he's got like mascara in one hand and like
perfectly
tweezers.
Trimmed facial hair.
Yeah, like the George Michael tweezers in the other, totally working on a thing. Carmen Electra, don't even get me started on Carmen Electra. Carmen Electra is like, Carmen Electra's essentially just a, she's just a polymer on legs. I mean, that's all it is, man. She's just polyurethane kind of molded into the shape of a woman. So, anyway, I don't know. I had some point, and then it just sort of frittered away. As is my wont. Rick, this is from a woman. You know, seeing a nudie magazine as a girl for the first time is just as memorable, but for different reasons. It's a glimpse not only into the anatomy you're soon to inherit, which is endlessly fascinating to a preteen girl, but it's also the first time you begin to realize the unholy power you will soon wield as the bearer of that anatomy. It's simultaneously thrilling and terrifying. It's like unfolding a roadmap to Guyville.
Yeah.
See, it's like not even being a girl. I know that women do this, that women sit around when you're like 12 and 13 with your friends. And I know women sit around and they discuss their soon-to-be unfolding womanhood, don't they? Don't women do that?
Yeah, well, I remember the first time I saw a magazine like that. It does, like, perplex you because you're thinking about, you're like, I have all that stuff. Why are those girls sitting like that and, you know, doing what they're doing? Well, and why is that so interesting?
And probably, I mean, it would just be my speculation that if you're a woman and, like, you unfold Playboy magazine and there's Pam Anderson, right? Or, you know, or whatever. And then, but you're like 12, right? And so you still got the body of a 12-year-old girl. You probably look at yourself and then you look at that and you wonder how you're going to turn into that. You probably, I mean, you got to. I mean, you have to sit and go, well, where the... I don't understand. I don't have enough skin. Where are they going to come from? You know, it's probably completely confusing. So that is, I mean, that is probably, because guys don't do that though. Guys don't sit around and, you know.
I don't remember talking to my friends about that.
Maybe it's
this
just
is,
in
this
my
is in
version
your little
of,
mind.
Maybe
yeah.
That's right before the pillow fight, you know, and the,
I don't have enough skin for that. God, you need to stop.
I'm just saying, it's just one of those things I say. Finally this, Anne says, my youth has been sold. With, like, 14 exclamation marks. Rick, after cooking all day on Thursday, I'm watching TV and relaxing, reading Newsweek, listening more than watching. And what do I hear? A Cure song on the TV. Now, I know there's a pay-per-view concert coming up soon, so I figure it's a commercial for that. But no, it's a digital camera commercial with the song Pictures of You playing. Oh, my heart is breaking into a million black gothic pieces. Full-time listener in Milwaukee. P.S. Now I know your pain when you saw the Cadillac commercial with Led Zeppelin. It's true, and Just Like Heaven is the opening theme to some talk show in Britain now. Not a bit. Pictures of You is much worse. You know, it's like, what is Robert Smith? I mean,
I saw that for the first time last night.
Robert Smith can't possibly need money. I mean, does he have gambling debts or something? That hurts from The Cure. But that's as good a time as any. This thing about your youth being sold, on the subject of completely exploiting and whoring your youth and strip mining all your nostalgic memories for financial and personal gain, let's talk about Bigger Than Jesus, The Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan, which is the one-man show that I did back in, God, it didn't even seem like it was long ago, about 6 months ago, that I did 6 months ago.
It's been so long, I wish I could see it again.
It's been a long time, been a long time. Been a long, lonely, 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 lonely time, as Robert Plant once said. Yeah, and so now you probably don't even remember it. You probably need to see it, you know, again, just so you can remember what it was like. You probably need to see it again while bringing several of your friends. You probably need to bring everybody you've ever met. Fortunately, you will have your opportunity. I can now officially announce, and it's up on the website now. You go to rickemerson.com. It's a little Bigger Than Jesus logo there that we've just added that you can click on for information. We are bringing back Bigger Than Jesus, The Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan, which is the one-man show I did at Clinton Street. It's a one-man show by me, Rick Emerson. It's coming January 16th and 17th, and then the 23rd, the 24th. So that's a Friday, Saturday, and then a Friday, Saturday. So Friday and Saturday, the 16th and 17th, and then Friday and Saturday, the 23rd and 24th of January, live at the Imago Theater in Portland. Tickets will be on sale very soon, but in the meantime, you can go to rickemerson.com. You can see stills from the last time we did it. You can read about the show. You can see the credits, discover the, read little, clips about the people, myself and Joni DeRoshi, who's the director. So you can find out all that stuff right now, but we can now announce that the show will be returning for 4 days in Portland. Tickets will be on sale very soon. More information at rickemerson.com right now and in the future. Stay there. We're going to return with today's top five right here on the Rick Emerson Show. It's Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. We will continue. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Sarah dealing with the traffic.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We got this, Rick. I can't agree on the 80s. Come on, Madonna was arguably the sexiest woman of any time. She makes up for any overall shortcomings during the 80s. Well, she does sort of raise the bar. She raises the average. She lifts the mean. You know, kind of like the one smart kid in every class kind of lifts the curve for everybody. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Alright. I'm clearly in some sort of Beavis mode today. In Portland, Angela, you're on Hot Talk Tonight at KOTK. What's up, sister?
Hi, I wanted to ask you about Dorothy Stratton.
Oh, love me some Dorothy Stratton.
Now, what year was she? Was she 1979? 1980. Yeah.
1980. Dorothy Stratton, played by Hemingway in the movie Star 80. She was a huge star, huge, very famous playmate, loved by everyone, and then killed by her nutcase psychotic husband-boyfriend guy who is sleazy and a total player. So... yeah, see Star 80. It's kind of the definitive story of her life. Yeah, she was hot. She was really beautiful.
See, that's what I was thinking about. Because, see, I remember her from, you might remember the show. It was called Buck Rogers and the 25th Century. Do you remember that?
Yep.
I used to watch that when I was a kid, and I remember she was on.
Dorothy Stratton was on that?
Yeah, she had a little part. And I
Weird.
Thought she was such a pretty girl.
Yeah.
And then I remembered hearing later, that she was murdered from
yeah,
my family.
Shotgunned to death or something. It was a terrible story. Yeah.
And, I was listening to you, too, when you were saying how the women, after a certain period, they just didn't look the same. And that's something that my family has always talked about that, too. My mom has always said that women don't look the same as far as their physical appearance, the way their bodies are made. And my grandma says it. And when I go to have my clothes altered or when we go to, get your bras fitted and stuff, women are always saying that, especially older women. I think they notice it.
Well, you know what it is? Women today are sort of like imitation crab. No, that's not it. It's, let's withdraw that. No, it's not like that at all. They're like a thing. Yeah, I've lost it. I've completely lost it.
Maybe this is too serious, but I kind of wonder if it's maybe the hormones in our food or it's the fact that we exercise differently now. Women in the 50s and the 60s and 40s, they didn't exercise.
I just think we're lazy, and I think we're too lazy, and so we end up going to the doctor for everything, including our appearance and our looks and everything. So, there's Angela in Portland. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. All right, we're getting really behind. Here's the top five for today.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's
the best thing to do.
Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy.
I love to count, don't you?
Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And as we recover from another round of binge eating, we recall the good and bad of a Thanksgiving celebration. The good being family, and the bad all too often being family as well. Let's examine the ties that bind with these, the top five songs with family in the title.
Beanie at number five with the Ramones, and we're a happy family.
That's still loud. The whole blueprint for punk right there.
At number four, the sound of Sly and the Family Stone with Family Affair.
The soulful, silky, funk sensation. We have like the ninth Sly Stone song we've had. Like
somebody
a month.
You just loved burning.
Oh, yeah.
Mom loves
girl.
The bold of
girl, you know she meant nothing
you
to me.
It's in the blood.
Girl, you know you're the only one for me.
This sounds like Clyde singing. I thought he was in there.
Blood thicker than the mud. No, really?
Number three, Sister Sludge and We Are Family.
Sludge. Later covered by Babes in Toyland, really, effectively.
We are family.
I saw the Spice Girls sing this in concert. Sing. I saw the Spice Girls dance on stage while this played.
We are family.
Everybody loves this song.
We are family. I got all my sisters with me.
Listen to that.
We are family.
Look at that funk there.
Get up, everybody, sing.
And at number two, Mary J. Blige with A Family Affair. At number one, Hank Williams Jr. with Family Tradition.
Lord, I guess I went and wrote their Family Tradition. Get on me, wanna know, Hank, why do you drink?
Get drunk,
Hank, why do you smoke?
Get stoned,
why must you live?
Favorite. You play this in a bar, and everybody in the bar will be singing along. This is a great song.
I got the Hank Williams Jr. box set. The Bocephus box, yo. Yeah.
Of my daddy's name.
All right, we got more on the way. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
And mine ain't exactly the same. If I get gone and sing all night long, it's a family tradition. So don't ask me, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the song that you wrote? And if I'm down in a honky-tonk, some old slick's trying to get me.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us next, followed by the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We didn't even get to this thing about local porn star. Or Jeff from Salem is saying that's some porn star who lives in Portland. Well, anyway, we'll get to that tomorrow. My good friend Diana is downtown. What's up, sister?
The first hot kiss. That was my awakening into a new era.
Is that when you became aware of your own flowering womanhood?
I tell you, when you get that worm underneath, yeah.
Worm? Oh, warm.
Warm.
Oh, I was going to say, we're talking about two.
No.
Well, maybe
warm,
not two separate
under.
Things. Yeah. Well, that ties in with the getting the vibrating shower head, I guess.
But at the age of 13, when you realize that kissing boys gives you that kind of reaction, well, that was my opening.
I went to the wrong schools. All right, there you go. That's Diana downtown. Man. Live my life over, and I'm going to do it better this time. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. All right, no time to be fair with anymore. I've got all this stuff. I got all this. The Playboy email alone that I'm getting today is just, I mean, it's just endless. It just goes on and on forever. And so we will talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Coming up on tomorrow's show, it's got a busy week. So you should just buckle in right now because it's going to be a busy week here. We got tomorrow, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine is going to be here. Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Coming up Wednesday, we're still putting it together right now, but we're aiming to have one of the editors from Blender Magazine on with us on Wednesday. We've got the Ozzy birthday coming up this week, so Ozzy's Top 5. That's all coming up, and rat-a-tat-tat. So you just get ready for that. All right, we want to thank CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten today, Jolie from the front desk, Kristen from accounting, Bernie Mac, Ozzy Osbourne, Hillary Clinton, Roy of Siegfried and Roy, and Hugh Hefner. Let's just give a little
thanks,
love
Hef.
To Hugh Hefner there. Yeah, I could just look at this all day. All right, so we'll be back tomorrow. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon. For Hot Talk Today, KOTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 21 hours for the KOTK Noon News Hour tomorrow. Like us next. Phil Hendry at 7. We'll see you tomorrow at 12. See y'all. Bye.
Bada bing and bada bing, bada boom.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.